Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
This call is being recorded.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from Finger Region number 6. Today is a Tuesday, March the 5th. 2019. We have a live show for you today. We have Pastor Keith in the building. He braved the cold weather to come into the studio, so glad to have Pastor Keith here. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to reach us. We'd love to hear from you today. And today's show is going to be The Wage of War. Sorry, everyone. It took me a little bit longer to get everything put in for today's show, but, you know, that happens. So today's show is The Wage of War is what today's show is going to be. But before we get into that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. If you would go to www.blacktalkradionetwork and make a monetary donation there from there, from the overall homepage of this network, that would be great. But you can also, what would be better is for every person that is a listener of Black Talk Radio Network, Tando Radio Show, if you would go and become a member in the social media platform known as BTR Community for only $24 a year. And if you would do that and then give, you know, monetary, you know, some, you know, throughout the year, some donation to the network, that would definitely help the network out. So please do that. Become a member in BTR Community. You can just go to www.btrcommunity.com and become a member in its social media platform. Very, very useful. You can actually promote yourself, your business, and things that you think that need to be highlighted so that, you know, the media, there is some exposure to what you think is relevant. And also you can monetize that for your business, and, you know, everything within reason. Everything has to be reasonable, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you know that, but we just have to say it. So going over to BTR Community at www.btrcommunity, become a member and engage in your social media activities in a more holistic way. This way you don't have to worry about you being data mined you talking about this social event or that social event, and then you don't get a promotion or you don't get hired or you don't get this or that, or it's actually being used to cross-pollinate you, who you know, who knows you, what you talk about with the overall, and that's what that platform is all about. But going over to BTR Community, and you don't have to worry about FedBook, okay? So because they do charge you. So please do that for only $24 a year. Also, very important that you actually exchange your cash into real money. Go to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com. Just spell out the word prosperity, then put the word mint, M-I-N-T, all one word, all together, no spacing, info@prosperitymint.com, and then say, hey, I'm a Tando radio show listener. Dave told me to contact you, and someone will reach out to you. Make sure you leave a number that they can text you and call you to explain the overall buying process, so you'll know exactly what that is. And that was the only thing that it will be used for. Just for that. It's not going to be a sales call or anything such as that. There's some very, very important information that you need. And everyone that does that, when they actually, Prosperity Mint reaches out to them, they're like, oh, glad you called and told me that. Didn't know those things. So they want to just make sure that you understand how the buying process works. Very, very, very critical and crucial for your benefit. Okay? So definitely do that. Okay. So we're going to get into what's in the news for today. And I have a lot to still put in, and I'm still doing that as we speak. But anytime, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to sound off. We'd love to hear from you for today's show. We're going to be talking about the wage of war, and I think it's going to be a very significant one. Keith, there is I would like to bring some very critical parallels to what's going on and how things are starting to unfold, and give a insight as to what the next set of events that we are likely to see in this overall global purge of the United States and the collapse of the common person's economy here in the United States and in the world, but particularly in the United States. I think it's a couple of things I want to share with everyone. And glad that you're in studio and ready to go. I won't open the window because it's freezing outside. But I don't think I'm just going to warn you, Keith. If you start to get just a little sleepy, I'm going to open up that window on you. Keith pointed to, he got a coat. But I appreciate you, Keith. So much love, much respect. And today is a little bit better than yesterday.
Yes, it is.
Weather-wise, yesterday.
Yes, it is. Yep. You know, it's still cold.
Yeah.
But the sun's shining, and it's not as cold. The wind's not blowing. You know, yesterday it was cold, and it had a wet, hard wind. Yesterday was just ugly.
Yeah, yesterday was painful.
Yeah, it was.
Today's just cold. Make yesterday, like, you know, you could bear it today.
Absolutely.
From yesterday. Yeah, it was tough. So let's get into what's in the news. We got a couple of articles there that we want to highlight and take a look at, and for you should take a look at. Okay, first article. This one comes from South China Morning Post. This one is China not paying for a trade war. The U.S. China's not paying for the trade war. The U.S. is. And it's costing the U.S. $4.4 billion a month. $4.4 billion a month. So check out.
Well, hold it. Before that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that needs to be clarified when you say the U.S. is paying for that. From my understanding, when you say the U.S. is paying for
right, Keith.
The U.S. consumer is paying for that.
Yes.
And that's kind of a different mm-hmm. ballgame, because when you say U.S. is paying for it, they do what they do with right. their funny money.
Right.
But when the consumer is paying for it, that's coming out of our pocket.
Sure, sure. And that's exactly, you know, they wrote the article. But you're absolutely right, Keith, and I'm glad you brought that. And I was hoping that everyone knew what that article, the title of that article really meant, as what you explained. The U.S. isn't paying for anything. The United States government doesn't have $22 trillion debt, $250 trillion debt to $400 trillion debt. They don't have that debt. The debt is passed to the people. The ones that are liable for the debt is the ones that have the burden of the debt is the ones that hold the debt. So it's very important to see the U.S. is an indebted nation, yes, but it's immune from the liability of default because the U.S. actually is the U.S. citizen that the U.S. government owes that debt to, and they never gonna pay it. See, it's just like when you say that you're in debt, you got to really look at what that really means. If you're in debt, it doesn't mean that you really have a debt problem. If you have assets, that's the whole key. Because assets make you immune from the liability of default. Okay? So if you have debt, and but you have assets, what happens is you transfer the liability of default to the debt holder, right? So the United States has assets because the debt holder of the U.S. debt is the everyday citizen. They got a debt problem. Best way that I can explain it is this way. If you're in debt, you really don't have a debt problem. It's the one that you owe the debt two is the one that has a debt problem. Because if you don't pay, what does that do to them? It harms them.
Well, yeah, but I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't even look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still got a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You still got a problem.
No. If
the real harm goes to the money that's owed to because they're not getting what's owed to them.
Right.
I understand that.
Right.
But understand this.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't just going to sit by passively
and
let you get away with it either. So you still got a problem also.
But see, here's the thing, and I'm glad you said that, Keith, because you always say, correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm going to correct you. No, I'm just playing. But no, you're right, Keith, but here's the difference. And I said when you have assets, that actually that mitigates the liability of default.
Absolutely.
Because if you have assets and the person that you owe a debt to, if they have no assets, no matter what they do, you'll be able to squash them. Because you have an asset, they don't. And that is something that's not really, really taught economically to people. Because case in point, the United States, the corporation of the United States has assets. It doesn't have any debt. The everyday people have the debt.
Right.
And because of that, hold on one second. And because the everyday people, because the U.S. has, the corporation of the United States has assets, and the people generally don't have an asset, when the U.S. defaults on its debt to the people, what can the people do to the corporation of the United States? Very little to nothing, right? From this standpoint, because they have assets, they can sustain themselves without the people, the corporation can. And the economy has to listen to every single person that has a significant amount of assets because the economy is really driven off of, the economy always has to listen to who the asset holders are. This is why when they build sports arenas or teams buy stadiums and everything else, the overall organization, what do they do? Because they're the asset holder. What do? They make the people pay for it.
Okay. So with your conversation that you're saying,
yeah,
it still has to be clarified as not the people, not the person with assets per se, but assets to a great, great significance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the significance of asset holding depends on many variables. See, you never want to have debt unless you're leveraging it for one reason and one reason only, to acquire assets. If you're not acquiring assets and you have debt, you have a debt problem. Because immediately when that debt defaults, you're in default. Let me give you another example, Keith. and how that really works. Let's say you owe on a let's say you have a debt. Let's say for a mortgage. Correct?
Okay.
And you have a mortgage, which is a debt. But you have assets outside of that mortgage, and it's protected, right? Those assets are protected. Because assets assets really is a measure of control, not ownership. Debt is always ownership. Who's going to be liable for taxation is really what ownership means. Okay? That's what ownership really means. And this is why we got to stop wanting to own everything and control nothing. So let's say you have a mortgage and you default on your mortgage. And then when you default on your mortgage, it goes into foreclosure. They actually foreclose on the home and then you have to leave and everything else. Correct, right?
Right.
But if you read those overall contracts with mortgages, they are actually slanted to exploit the overall lender. They really are. And they really, when you read the whole, and you know what you're reading, it's slanted to their benefit and not yours. Okay?
Okay.
So now,
you were saying, okay, I got you. Okay.
So now, when you default and you that goes into foreclosure, if you have real assets, guess what happens? Because the banks and whoever the mortgage holder is, they can't hold all of the home. So what are they going to want to do? They're going to want to get rid of it because they still have a debt as well, right? They had the debt because they bought the bond on that property. So now they're still in debt. So they want that overall property to be sold. Okay? So here's how it works. If you have assets and you just got foreclosed on, this is what you can do. When you have real assets, you can let that. I'm not saying that you should practice this. No, you should practice this, but I wouldn't say that this is something that you should practice regularly. This is how you should protect yourself. Right, Keith?
Okay.
Let's say you really do want that home because of family ties, you know, a lot of different reasons that you could say, okay, I want that home. But you couldn't pay for that home. Should you ever go into your savings to uphold your debt obligation? Absolutely not. It's a wrong concept. And we really got to talk about that. You should never, ever go into your savings to save your debt obligations. You never create a business that would starve another business. Okay?
And that's not rocket science. That's really the same concept of two things. Always pay yourself first.
Yes.
And understand that your average person is always going to be in debt. They're never going to catch up unless they do certain things.
Right. Right, right.
So when you start trading your savings and what you got put away for something that's going to be right where it was when you left it next month, you're trading something for nothing.
You never let good money chase any debt. Because all debt is bad unless you're leveraging the debt to accumulate assets. Okay? Very, very important. So, and what I'm saying, Keith, is that you never, ever, ever, ever let your savings bail out your debt.
Right.
You let that debt is like a business. You let that debt, if you can no longer service it, guess what you should do?
Let it go.
Let it go. But see, was your quality of life and standard of living changed? Let's say you do want that house. Now this is what you can do. You can take some of your asset savings, go to the courtroom steps, and guess what?
Buy that off the auction.
Yes. Yes. You can do it that way. If you have identified that overall property is now an asset that you don't want to lose. Okay? So there are very, very important. So in this article, it says China not paying for the trade. The U.S. is, and it's costing U.S. $4.4 billion a month. And as you said, Keith, the United States isn't paying that. the burden of the actual burden of the debt holder, which is the everyday citizen here, is paying that. This is why with all of the debt that the U.S. has and put on its citizenry, it's almost virtually impossible to not only make it with 2 and 3 people income homes if you're not doing things correctly with the income that's coming in. Because it should be going out to acquire assets. Like you said, Keith, you pay yourself first. Let me tell you why that pay yourself first is more important. You're the one that created the energy for yourself to be paid a wage. The first person you better pay is you. And the last person you better pay is you. Because of this, if you don't pay yourself, what happens is that whomever your debt obligations is in, and I'm saying all this, don't overextend yourself in debt. Don't overextend yourself in debt. Those individuals won't care what your quality of life or standard of living is. The only thing they care about what is you what? Servicing that debt. And even before you start to give anything anywhere else, you pay yourself first. And then guess what, Keith? I have a saying. You pay yourself in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the day. You pay yourself first, in the middle, and in the end.
Okay, elaborate down that. Yes.
So, your first obligation that you should, let's say you get paid a wage. Let's say that wage is $100. We'll just use that for example. Well, of that $100, $20 should be moved to you immediately. Okay? Then I think that there's another $20 that you can start to look at the priorities of your debt. Okay? And your charitable needs. Okay?
Okay, so your $100 is your total.
Yes. Let's just say $100. We just want to use that to be even. Just so we can.
I understand that, but that's the total income.
Yeah, the total income is $100. $20 you should pay to yourself first and foremost.
Okay.
Because if you don't feed the roots, you won't be able to. That's right. Right. So now $20 is there. So now you have $80 that's left, correct?
Right.
Now you have another $20 that goes to prioritizing your overall bills. Okay?
Okay.
And your charitable means. This is where for those that want to do tithes and offering and everything else, that's where you would do that, okay? Right? You want to do your tithes and offering. I think that's where that comes from. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Let me tell you why, and most people are going to get mad, and I don't think you will, Keith, but you are a pastor and everything else. You do not pay your tithes first. I'm going to tell you why. Here's why. This is my opinion. God doesn't need your money. God created money. Okay? God doesn't need your money. Everything that God creates is money. So now, do you give tithes to help the church and everything else to maintain the overall message and everything else? Yes, because that's what needs the money.
Okay, I think certain things need to be clarified.
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
We're going to have a whole discussion on tithes. Because I don't look at tithes the average way you do either. You'd have to clarify what you mean by pay yourself.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, of course, you have to eat. Mm-hmm. Tithes and offering isn't an obligation.
Right.
It's a growth towards trust and relationship.
Yeah.
So we got to go into other things before, but I agree with you 100%. God don't want your money while you're out there sleeping on the street and hungry.
No.
So you definitely take care of yourself.
But right.
Tithes and offering after that, that's kind of fluid.
Yeah. There comes a point in time that you hope that you have developed a monetary way where you can stop praying for things from the great creator and start, and that you actually say, what is it that I can do? Instead of asking for something, you ask, what can I do?
Absolutely. And we're not going to go into
that. We're going to come.
That's a huge discussion there, but you're absolutely right.
There's a bigger, there's a huge dynamic change that's there.
Absolutely.
So now we're at the next 20, the second $20 goes towards prioritizing, you know, what's important to you. And this is where I would classify your tithes and offerings would be there, here, and there, okay? And then that would be the priorities of some of your bills. So now that's what? That's $40. Now you have $60, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now this is after taxes.
This is after taxes, yes.
Okay,
now we're at $60. So now we're at the middle. So now the next $10 should be paid to you again. And then I'm going to break up what the three payments should be, what they should look like, in my opinion, okay? So now you're at $50. Now at $50, you have another $10. So now you're back and forth. That goes to the next set, the secondary obligations that you have, the bill obligations. So the next $10, okay? So now we're at $40, right?
Okay.
We're at $40 now. Now, the next obligation, $20 obligation, should go to establishing your family's prosperity. Okay?
What's the difference between you and your family?
Okay, you and your family. Your family prosperity is that now that measure of savings goes to seeding going forward past you. Okay? And I think that you need to actually, because if we don't, the system always wants us to have a 2-week plan, not a 100-year, 200-year, 300-year, 400-year plan. Because when you have a 400-year plan, that means that you are going to put the infrastructure in place for that next 400 plan year to actually be the milestones to be met in the directions and the objective to actually come to full fruition. So that takes seeding to do that. So that's where that next seeding is, and that seeding is the last portion of paying yourself, right? Now we're down to $20. And in that $20, here's where that last $20 should be going. That last $20 should be going to you maintaining your standard of living and your quality of life. Okay? Your standard of living and quality of life. What do I mean by that? Your standard of living. What is it that you want to do? What is it that's important to you? Business-wise. And your quality of life, that's your standard of living. Your quality of life is you should actually have a measure of quality of life where you should actually, cut this down, should be engaged, because it costs to be able to have the proper nourishment of food.
Okay, so.
And things of that nature, where your quality of life, where you take care of yourself, your health, exercise, and all these other things and that maintains your overall health, good clean water. That may mean living in a country that you're not in right now, but you're able to do that and sustain that overall because of your overall plan. Now that $100 is absorbed. So that's how I would think that it's better to use it. And then, but you had something to say, Keith.
And really what has happened is, this discussion requires a lot of discussion.
It sure does.
It does.
Well, so
because even with your standard of living,
write it down. Let's have it as a show, a 2-day show.
Okay. Because even when you say your standard living, you talked about
what does that mean?
For as a matter of fact, I looked at an article yesterday from a young lady who was talking about black people, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying why we're broke.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what came to mind when you said your standard of living, well, what the heck is our standard of living? And the point that she was making is, you know, as so many of us go, our standard of living is our quality of balling. Mm-hmm. You know, with the red bottom shoes and the Mercedes Benz mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. else. And we have no savings, right. We have no retirement, right. We have no investment.
Hey, you know, all, so, consumerism.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, yeah, this is, I think this would be a good subject.
We need to have a 2-day show, Keith. So let's do that Thursday and Friday.
Sounds good.
We'll have an extended show for that, and we can kind of break that down because I think it's very, very important because our quality of life and standard of living should, I think it should never be based off of consumerism. We have to become prodigious savers. Okay? So now, I broke it down into three. You pay yourself in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. So we talked about what the end payment was for, right? The middle payment is for your seeding that's going forward. That $20 is seeding for your future, 100 years, 200 years. Your first investment is the investment of you savings, and from that savings, taking cash and acquiring assets.
Well, your first one's got to be sustenance.
Yes. What do you mean by sustenance?
Food and shelter.
Yeah. Well, that's the quality of life and standard of living.
See, and that's where we're talking about because they get molded, really do get molded.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, and that has to be pointed out because your standard of living is, okay, what is your standard of living?
Right.
You know, and the prayer goes, give us this day
our daily
bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even that needs to be looked at.
That's in it.
Come mm-hmm. to, yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's also very important. The key to being a millionaire is not to live like one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're a millionaire and you live like a millionaire, you're broke. If you're a billionaire and you live like a billionaire, you're broke. It depends on the person. Some people can actually live three levels below where they really are. I think that is important to discipline yourself to get two levels below where you really are.
There was an article I was reading yesterday, and I'd have to go back and look at this brother's name, but he actually teaches a class.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an NFL player,
mm-hmm.
and he lives on 10% of his income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, 10% of your income is relative.
It's relative, you know, to the individual. Yeah,
it's relative, but... Mm-hmm. Still, the mindset is not.
Mm-hmm. No, the mindset isn't. It isn't, and it's something that we definitely have to do. And there's reasons for everything. And everything you should do, it should be done for a measure of value. And if you do things for a measure of value, that's very, very, very important. Okay? Very, very important. So, all right, so I think we belated that. But we needed to do that, Keith. That's why I cherish you. And the show goes where it needs to go, you know, and that was very important because, as you said, wait a minute. We need to talk about that because when they talk about the U.S. is paying $4.4 billion, the U.S. ain't paying that. That's absolutely right. Who the burden of the debt falls on is paying that. That would be the everyday persons known as the citizenry of the United States. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I was thinking that yesterday, you know, you were mentioning how these various countries, you got Israel shooting for the moon, you got China, you know, moving into that area, space exploration. Donald Trump then, you know, called for the Space Force to be created, which PNET called for back in 2000. Russians, yeah. And you were talking about mining. What they're trying to do is find precious metals in space is basically what it's down to. But, you know, as you was talking about that, in my mind, I was saying this is another example of of the public being forced to fund something because the government, the U.S. government is funding all of that. I mean, I know you got the SpaceX program with the, you know, the billionaire white dude and what have you, but the majority of this mining type stuff, and then they're going to be laying claim to asteroids and planting flags on asteroids and whatnot. But the American taxpayer, the U.S. taxpayer is going to be footing the bill, and the profits are going to be privatized. That's how everything works. Even, you know, whether you believe they went to the moon or not. But everything that they said came out that space program, whether we're talking about fire retardant suits or even something like Tang or something. You know, all of that was funded with public money, and then it was privatized. It's not like, let's say, for example, there's a asteroid that's going by just slow enough, going to enter, you know, not the orbit, but the solar system, and you know, we have the ability, and it's 50% gold. You know what I'm saying? It's made up of all kind of stuff, but it's 50% gold. And then we're going to land this, you know, NASA's going to send up whatever, a rover or whatever, and we're going to somehow mine some of this gold. It's not like the gold is going to go to the U.S. Treasury and then pay for social programs like, you know, ensuring Social Security don't fail and public highway projects and just, you know, public libraries, schools. No, it's going to be privatized, man. What's going to happen is a corporation is going to pay USA Inc. for mining rights, you know, on so-and-so. And they're going to get licenses. Yep. They're going to pay a small fee or what have you, but nowhere near what the U.S. taxpayer has invested in even having a space program to even do these sort of things or to even dream about doing such things. But that's what I was thinking about, how they always publicize the debt and privatize the profits.
Yep, that's what I always say. That's capitalism. It publicizes the debt and it privatizes all of the profits. And that's capitalism. That's when, you know, Margaret Thatcher said that socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Well, capitalism is great once you exhaust all of the people's energy for your overall private profits. And that's, you know, that's what's really, really happening here, because even when Obama signed that into law, okay, it's really all of that, none of that is going to make it to the overall benefit of the everything. See, Kennedy said something, ask not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country, right? Is one of the worst statements ever. One of the worst statements ever. Because what that really, in subjugate, what that really means is that that you are a subject of the overall government. No, what it should be is this, is that the collective, this is what I think is the best working thing. The collective efforts of the people have collective prudence for all of the people. And so where you momentumize all of your energy, Chief, let's say you can harvest, as an individual, you can harvest 3 bushels of corn. But if you have 5 other people with you, now you can actually harvest 25, 30 bushels of corn collectively. And then what do you do with the bushels that come across that you harvest? You take some for you and those that work with you, and then you disseminate that with the what? With everyone else, and you share that with everyone else so that everyone is never in lack and always, you know, have the abundance and sustainability that happens. But that's not what it is. That's what a tax is. A tax is, when you talk about enslavement, when we talk about enslavement really starts almost first and foremost in taxation. That's the first act of enslavement and subjugation of people, is taxes.
Well, Dave, and I agree with what you're saying to a degree, and I agree with Scotty also to a degree, and now we're going to roll back over into the conversation that we've had before, that we all agree with each other. The problem isn't that it's being privatized, and the problem isn't that it's taxes. The problem is we're not talking about neither socialism or capitalism. We're talking, I had a conversation with somebody that's very dear and close to me yesterday, last night as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
who works for
mm-hmm.
NASA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as we started talking about certain things.
We say an agency.
Yes.
An agency, yes.
Right. And she said, well, he said.
Yeah, yeah. I always kind of keep it.
He said that we don't get the money that the people think that we get.
Of course not.
So the question I said to her was, which I already knew the answer, which is what we're going into in this conversation with you and Scotty,
mm-hmm.
is how is it that you're not getting the money when we're paying 10 times more for our military and investments than the next 10 other countries are paying combined? Yeah. And if you look at what these other countries are doing, you know, in Iran, I just read an article that 100% of their mosques are fueled by solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at Singapore and I look at all these countries that are planting these trees en masse that you are taking 80% of all their power from natural means. When I look at the advancements that they're all doing in their infrastructure, and they're paying a hundredth of yeah. what we are, and they have way more than we have. Our problem isn't privatization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not socialism.
It's corruption.
It's theft and corruption.
Sure. Sure. And those.
Yeah,
and those
I can roll with that. I can roll with that, Keith, because you know when I was when I got to my first duty station. Now my MOS is combat signalman, right, which is dealing with communication. But every unit gotta have one. They gotta have somebody that can set up field communications while you're rolling, and then pack it up and move site and all. But this was aviation unit that I was attached to, so they didn't have the commo department they were supposed to have. I had to create one for them. And so, but to have, you know, so I have something to do until all my equipment came in and, you know, I could set my trailer up and everything, I had to work in the supply department. And, you know, it's an old running joke about how much the U.S. military pays for stuff, you know. And you know, you can go to the store and buy a nail for maybe 5 cents, maybe less than 5 cents. But one nail, for some reason, the U.S. military is going to pay $5 for one nail. And that's corruption. That's greed. And that's corruption. It's just not corruption on the part of the private contractor, but it's corruption on the people in the military that's procuring, you know, these contracts and what have you. But to me, though, the corruption, you know, you're introducing corruption when you want to privatize things that don't need to be made private. You know what I'm saying? Why you need a private mm-hmm. prison? You know what I'm saying? I mean, why do you need private prisons when the state is supposed to be the one that's, you know what I'm saying, in control of these people's bodies? What gives you the right to pass them off to somebody because they'll take care of them and for less than what you will, you know, have to pay? Which, of course, means an erosion of those people's living conditions and what have you. So, I mean, I agree with you. But the corruption, to me, is introduced through the private sector.
Yeah.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. But where I see it still slightly different is I agree with you 100%, Scotty. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But let's look at it from another point of view. Because I agree with the prisons. I agree with what we're paying for that stuff. I agree with that 100%. But still, we have to look at something different. You're looking at, we track the fact that you idiots have paid $5 for a nail, which is beyond, corruption, right?
Mm-hmm.
And absurdly so. And same thing with the prisons and all that, absolutely. But let's look a step farther than that. At least you can take that $5 and say you paid, got a hammer for it. We're you're looking at $22 trillion that you can't even look at because you haven't a clue where it went.
Yeah, because it's not even $22 trillion. It's far, far
of
more.
Of course it is. And we, you know, so if I went to you and said, you know, I paid $5 for that nail, that's absurd.
Mm-hmm.
But if I went to you and said, well, you know, I paid $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a clue where it went,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't show you nothing for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's on a whole different aspect again.
And this, you know, this is going to be, I think we need to do this 3 days because this is also, because when we really look at it, the slavery never, ever ended, as we all know.
Absolutely.
Because anything that's profitable, no corporation, no business ever goes out of business because their business model and their business activities and their business day-to-day activities were profitable. So what do? Is that you have to continue to uphold the profitability of things and have it to grow as well. So this is where slavery continued to evolve. And the height of it is under citizenry right now.
Yeah.
The height of enslavement is under citizenry. But most, they schooled everyone to think that it's freedom that you're getting as a citizen. When it's not, it's absolutely not. Here's what the true definition of enslavement is. When someone takes your energy by force and by fear for you to give your energy for their profitability, that's enslavement. And that's what countries, and I'm going to talk about the U.S., but that's what the overall, that's what made America great.
Absolutely.
And that's what I mean by great, it had a great influence over other nations that were doing the same thing, but they did it in a more profitable way.
Wait, say that again.
They were able, what made America great was they were able to subjugate and enslave more profitably than other countries were able to do. That's why they were able to acquire the mass amount of influence and wealth during this short period of its existence compared to other nations. Now, other nations probably took the approach that they've been around a whole lot longer, that knowing that, guess what, bright star, you're going to burn out. We're not going to do it that way. And I think it's all coordinated and orchestrated, but if you really look at it, citizenry is nothing more than enslavement. Here's why.
Wait a minute. Are you saying universally or here?
Everywhere. Everywhere. The model of government system in this world today is a model of enslavement. Okay? It is. And how it, and also I would add, by fraud. Remember, by force and by fear? I would also add by fraud into that, okay? So what happens is this. Look at how much energy you give to the so-called U.S. economy. Look how much energy, how much money do you give to the U.S. economy? I want everyone to think about that. How much energy do you give to the U.S. economy?
Well, I think that before they were saying that you worked, what, until
mm-hmm.
something like May or June now,
mm-hmm.
before you start earning a profit on your labor.
Okay. So now, I want you, everybody to think, I'm glad you said that, Keith. Everyone think about how much energy do you and people that you know give to the U.S. economy? And then now, when you look at that, what does that mean? Energy is what? Money. It's a form of money. Right?
Sure.
It's a form of money. What form of money do they pay you in? Absolutely none.
Okay, so
wait, Keith. So let's think about that. Let's think about that from what everyone that's listening to this show is probably familiar with. But when we were actually the overall plantation enslavement of black people in the United States, right?
Okay.
Particularly, right? How much energy was extracted on the plantations from the slaves? How much of their energy, how much was taken from them?
95-98% of it.
And what did that produce? That produced money for the overall plantation organization, the corporation of a plantation ownership and control, right?
Well, partly.
No, it did.
Well, partly. I mean, you got to understand that during this time, because of those very things that you're saying, we became the fastest rising nation globally.
But that's what I'm talking about, Keith.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but, that's what I'm saying. You were saying plantation, but I'm saying...
Yeah, but... But that plantation...
Okay.
...was enslaved as well. Because that plantation had to pay for its existence as well. They were able to take the profits of what they got from here, and then they had to pay also to the government, right?
Sure.
So it went on. So now, how much did that plantation pay as slaves?
Nothing, exactly.
So if they paid them nothing then, how much, when you say they paid them nothing, you mean they paid them no money, right? They didn't give them any money. For their wage, for their labor, right?
I'm saying for the most part, they paid them nothing.
Right, for their labor, in exchange for their labor, right? They were just getting and they weren't giving anything, right? It was no fair medium of exchange.
Right.
Their table was not evenly yoked. They were just taking, they weren't getting anything. So when that happened, we all look at that and say that's wrong and foul. And let me tell you something. How much energy do you give to the economy and what money does it pay you back in? None at all. So slavery doesn't end. It doesn't end. What you do is you trick people through measures of fraud. This is a completely ubiquitous, this system is of ubiquitous fraud and corruption globally.
Hey, Dave.
And because of that, you're able to subjugate and enslave people and they don't even know it.
But
they'll fight for it because they think that they're free.
I agree. I'm just kind of struggling with you painting it on such a broad brush. And here's why I say what I'm saying. Again, and we've talked about this too.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Denmark, you go to Sweden, you go to these countries,
mm-hmm.
and those people are happy, they're satisfied,
mm-hmm.
and they're progressing individually as well as society.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you said, wait, Keith, you said the NFL player was living on 10% of his salary.
Right.
And you said that that was what? Speculative, right? It's relative to him, right?
To his income.
Well, see, when you look at Denmark and Sweden and other places, the same thing with the NFL player. That's still relative to the overall whole. Because the people in Denmark and Sweden, guess what? They are still enslaved. Here's why. Is there something called the Denmark government?
Sure.
Slavers. Is there something called the Swedish government? Slavers.
I don't see it that way.
Well, when we have another show, I'll break it down how.
And I know what you're saying.
How it does.
Because I'm saying that. Here's what I'm saying.
They just do it in a different way.
But I disagree. Let me say why I see mm-hmm. it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because 90% of the time, you have corrupt governments. But if your government's not corrupt, it's no different than, let's go back to...
Well, let's stop there, Chief. Sweden.
Now, let me go to another
okay.
example.
No, but I want you... No, I'm not going to let you off, because I know you want to...
Let me off.
No. You bit the bait in the hook you in. No. I'm going to reel you in. Let me tell you something about Sweden. Sweden steals from many, many countries. Many people from other countries they steal from.
Okay.
So do you think that they won't steal from their citizenry just because they're citizens of their overall nation? No. The thing about it is this, is that there's different levels of the overall fraud and the subjugation and enslavement.
Sure, but Sweden, we're talking about citizens.
Let me tell you something. Sweden will wipe out their citizenry in a minute. In a minute. They will sacrifice those citizens in a minute. And then guess what? Those citizens will be more willing to do it because you know what they'll say? They'll say this. We need to stand for Sweden because Sweden's been good to us.
But that's another subject, though. Yeah. That's another subject. And the reason why I'm saying this, absolutely, potentially, those things could happen, without a doubt.
They have happened
but
throughout human history.
That when things are operating like the expectations of them should. Mm-hmm. So I give you another example, similar to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back to the word, because that's where I'd rather be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the saying is, we all know it, they said, you could tell the Christians by their love for one another,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the love that was demonstrated for the love of one another is because essentially they were living in communals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They lived together, they shared everything.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no corruption in that,
mm-hmm.
that's not slavery.
Okay, I would agree with that. But
so if the government operated along those same standards, the problem is they're not. You're
right.
Bringing corruption.
You said if they do, I'm gonna tell you right now and emphatically, without even, they don't. And because they don't, they enslave people. And until you can get to that overall example, okay, just because you have that example, and others say that they do it, their creed and their deeds is two different things. You can profess that you a nation of liberty and law, but your deeds definitely have to line up to it.
Absolutely.
And they don't. And it's not one country on this planet that it does. They all do it. And it's at the measuring degrees that they do it in is the defining factor. Just because you're stealing 100% of the people's energy and one government is stealing 55% of the people's government, they're both thieves. And that one thief at 55, believe me, he's eyeing the opportunity to get to 100 and 200. He's not trying to go the other direction, or they're not trying to go the other direction.
Well, which is the sin and the weakness and the iniquity of man. So that's going to interplay into all of this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there is no perfection other than our Lord and Savior, and none of us are Him. All right? So you're right in what you're saying. But, again, my thing is painting with a broad brush. And you're right, it's a matter of degrees, because we all fall short of sin. That's always going to be there. But my thing is, overall,
mm-hmm.
if you have a very conscientious government that's trying to do the right thing.
That's an oxymoron.
Oh, Dave, for goodness sake.
Because you know it's true.
Well, I think because governments are no different.
But no, but you're saying if you do have that.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, Chief.
So, like, because governments are man, and man are government, right? But what happens is, and we talked about it, as a matter of fact, you talked about it yesterday. And what you talked about yesterday, you said you were looking for, you relished to what's about to happen.
Let's get ready to go to a commercial break, and then we'll come right back.
Good Lord, we're there already.
We're already there. So listen, you may go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And we only got past the first news item for today's show.
So, Dave, but that has to be so long-winded, Dave.
Hey, it is what it is. And you know, while we was in the break, Keith said that, you know, it's what did you just say before we went into the break, Keith? How, you know, this is just who, you know, we are, is all corrupt. And
well, we have the example that I was saying is, and we made this point the other day, without our Lord and Savior, man will always lead himself into destruction. Mm-hmm. But example, what we're talking about with government and what we're saying in relativity, right, is this, because you were saying yesterday, you realize what's about to happen, even though it's going to bring about a lot of death and a lot of desolation and all kind of things that we don't even want to think about. Mm-hmm. But what happens is this, it goes throughout society as well as it goes throughout man. And as man rises up through the ashes like the Sphinx after a society is destroyed, right? Mm-hmm. Man realizes that, you know what, we destroyed that society.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out of the ashes with the motivation and the consciousness and the foresight to do things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he starts out doing that. Now, not all people. I'm not saying all people because you're always going to have evil. But generally speaking, the society set is to do things the right way. So when this country is destroyed and obliterated like all the others, the ones that rise out of us are going to say, you know what, we're not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. So their intentions are good, just, and right for the most part, right? And that will carry on, well, generally speaking. And that carries on, but as that carries on, it goes through, it progresses, it rises, it prospers, and then guess what? Mm-hmm. Then people get comfortable, they get greedy, they do all these things, mm-hmm. and you go right back into that cycle again.
Yeah, I'm going to go, we got a caller, I'm going to go to Brother Davis in a minute, but finish what you were saying. Brother Davis, hold on 1 second.
Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Brother Davis, and I hear you, Keith, and that is the life cycle that we tend to see, and that's why everything is cyclical.
Right.
It's very cyclical. But we got a caller in queue. It's Brother Davis or Sister Davis. Brother Davis, Sister Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Well, it's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Always
but
good
I do
to hear
say
the voice
that
of a friend. Brother Davis, Brother Davis.
When money was introduced, it was introduced for three purposes: to dismiss empathy, apathy, and integrity. Period. Because when you dismiss those three things, you can contaminate all everything else. See, man cannot control his human nature. If he bites into an apple, it's sweet. He wants another sweet apple. He don't want a sour apple. Even if he knows that the sour apple has another use, he still wants a sweet apple. Until he can understand that apples, like everything else, come in different varieties, and each variety serves a purpose, then he's going to focus on his human nature. That's why it's easier for him to sacrifice empathy, apathy, or integrity. In every case, money has played a role in corruption, period. There's no other use for money. People think that those daily transactions they do with money literally structures an economy? No, it doesn't. The government uses money as a tool to control. And every institution that's connected on any level with the government is corrupt. And that's not going to change as long as people see themselves as the humans of their desires instead of being humanistic to each other. I don't care where in the world you go, you're going to see somebody on the corner who's hungry. But if humanity served its greater purpose, there would be no hunger. There is enough for all. But because, and the perfect example is the political system, because a person can come in honorable, strong, and with integrity, money literally can dismantle him and change his whole fortitude. And if you don't believe it, I'll give you a perfect example. The average senator makes what? $117,000, $120,000 a year? More than 80% of them are millionaires. That should speak for itself. I just wanted to add to the conversation, brothers.
Brother Davis, can you hear me?
Yeah,
hello? Are you still there? Okay, so I agree with what you're saying. But you made a couple of key points that I have to bring out. And these points that I have to bring out, again, they're biblical, because the problem is there are always, like you said, they're going to be the minority, right? Because the word says that the road to destruction is wide. And that's where most people are, whether they hear the word or not. But I think it still needs to be pointed out that you're always going to have a minority that's not corrupted by these things. So it's possible. One of the examples that I will use, and of course there's some corruption in this as well, but for instance, let's take like the Quakers. Quakers do a pretty good job with self-sacrifice and taking care of their own without the abusing the people. And of course you find exceptions in that, but my thing is, I agree with you 100%. That holds true for the masses. But even though it holds true for the masses, I have to put out the fact that it doesn't have to hold true. We can, even with that sweet apple you're talking about, because I'll give you an example of me right now. I'm on the keto diet. And like Dave will tell you, I love some sweets. And I will always love sweets. But I haven't had no sweets because I come to the realization that those things need to be sacrificed. So I agree with you 100%. But still, we have to put out the fact that these things are possible, that we don't have to die to the faith of these things that are instilled in us.
Well, Brother, I don't think Brother Davis, and I know that you know that, Brother Davis wasn't making...
Well, wait a minute, Brother Dave. Because see, I think he's trying to soothe something. And I don't know what it is. First of all, let me be very clear. In humanity, there is no minority. You are all human. The only thing that separates that is man. So therefore, let's not look at this from a biblical perspective that you don't have to prove, when logically, when you look at it, no human can do any more than another human on a human level. They only use the tools to manipulate their integrity, their empathy, and their capacity to care, period. We can't say that because of a teaching that people who are human will not reach a point where they cannot fall. Anytime you have a human nature, you're subject to failure. And it's easier for you to fall than it is for you to rise. All right, you can follow that, Dave.
I'm just going to follow that by saying this. Brother Davis said it right.
I agree with you. Yeah, I know. No, I know you. And how he chronicled it in the statements is, you know, what I think is, and that's just my opinion. What you're saying, Keith, is the dynamics that play into it as well, because what Brother Davis was talking about is how man is using the ability to take from someone else what they are not, what's not owed or what's due. And it's an incursion. It's an invasion. It's a robbery. It's fraud. It's malevolent. It has intentions of evil to subjugate and to slave. And what it does is it actually puts in a caste system. The caste system is this, is that these individuals are above these individuals, and these individuals work for these individuals, and there is nothing that has ever been created by that in the universe, but it has been created by individuals from within, from a choice, executing their will. And our will is wrong.
Right.
And our will is wrong. And so, brother, I thought Brother Davis just, when he talked about it and using the apple, the sweet apple, and the thing about, I would, you know, the thing when I heard about the sweet apple is that I really looked at, once they have a taste for that sweet apple, the apple gets sweeter when they can take it from somebody else. So you have a sweet apple, let me take your sweet apple so it's sweeter for me now, and everything that you have and everything that you do, you will give me apples, sweet apples, because I have a taste, a lust for sweet apple. And when I take it by force and by fear, by malevolent ways, it's actually a sweeter apple. Mm-hmm. So the sweet, so the taste of poison is always sweet. Mm-hmm. It's always, always sweet. So we're definitely well said, Brother Davis. I made a mistake and I wanted to post something. Okay, that's why. Okay, I get it. I have too many things open. So one second. Brother Davis, was there anything else that you wanted to chime in on?
No, most of the time I just sit back and listen.
love Brother Davis. Brother Davis,
me too, Brother Davis, me too.
You too what?
Just like to sit back and listen.
And I don't mean for dead air, but I had to look at Keith real quick, and you should have seen my face. Keith liked the listen and sweep. And so, but I greatly appreciate, as we all do, Brother Davis, well said, and I love the different dynamics that we all bring, because, you know, when someone's intentions are sincere, that overall energy is something that we should all celebrate and support and align with. And I'm always in align with Brother and Sister Davis, because just because of who they are, and I know that their intentions is very, very sincere, which I appreciate, and it's developed into a relationship that I hold dear to myself. And Brother Davis and Sister Davis knows that, because you know how close you are to me. If my family members, if you know their name, and more importantly, if they know your name. You know, and so, and Keith has that role as well. So much love, much respect, Brother Davis. Always, always love, you know, the what you add to the overall show. Scotty, I posted something, and I want to go to this part of the show. Very, very important. I posted something, and it's a 2-minute video that's in the chat room, in the old chat room. It's there, where the callers come in. If you would, and it's Al Jazeera about Haiti, and I want to talk about, and this is the wage of war. And actually the show, where it's going so far, is the wage of war.
The streets of Port-au-Prince are quiet,
war, we are behind enemy,
but many fear the violence, which has gripped the country for more than...
So, Scotty, if you would, I'm going to shut up. Just pray, this is 2 minutes. I want y'all to hear this, and there's something that's very important that's to hear.
Streets of Port-au-Prince are quiet, but many fear the violence which has gripped the country for more than a week could begin again at any moment. The anger here stems from a government audit which discovered more than $2 billion in development funds are unaccounted for. The money in question was part of an oil assistance program called Petrocaribe.
The Petrocaribe Fund comes from an initiative from Venezuela's former president, Hugo Chavez. He wanted to have self cooperation with countries in Latin America, Haiti, Dominican Republic. But what happened is that they have been spending that money, and years later we realized that all those projects that they were supposed to realize, they didn't realize them.
Evidence of mismanaged funds can be seen across the country in unfinished infrastructure projects like this half-built overpass. Even renovation of the National Parliament building, a multi-million dollar effort financed in part with Petrocaribe money, is still far from completed, more than 7 years since construction began. Making his first public appearance since the protests started on February 7th, President Jovenel Moïse condemned the violence on the streets, but didn't outline any steps toward finding a resolution. Guichard Doré, an aide to the Haitian president, says the flames of the discontent are being fanned by the president's political opponents.
Haitian politicians always want to get rid of the president after a year or two. That's why we have this chronic instability. The president wants and is open to have a frank dialogue.
While the latest protests in Haiti are linked to the Petrocaribe scandal, discontent with the government has been mounting since the aftermath of the 2010 earthquake, where more than 100,000 people were killed. With widespread poverty, a declining economy, and new evidence of systemic corruption, anger finally reached a boiling point on the streets of the Haitian capital.
We're in downtown Port-au-Prince, where there's an uneasy calm as people pick up the pieces after more than a week of protests. There's still roadblocks set up that are preventing the free flow of traffic and a tension that seems to suggest that the unrest may not be over just yet.
Anti-government demonstrators have renewed calls for more protests, continuing to demand the resignation of the president, a condition that Moïse has made no indication of accepting. The more moderate figures of the opposition are calling for a national dialogue, one that includes voices from all sectors of Haitian society. However, it remains to be seen if both sides will be able to find a lasting resolution to the ongoing political crisis. Manuel Rapallo, Al Jazeera, Port-au-Prince.
Okay. I wanted to play that for a reason. And I don't know if you noticed that there were a bunch of U.S. mercenaries that were just captured with a bunch of weapons not too long ago in Haiti. And what happened was in some of the protests that's going on to this day, I saw a picture of a casket during a funeral procession that was put down, and the people were running. They put the coffin down, and you can see the overall tires burning in the background, and people ran away from the casket and left the casket in the street because of the protesting and then the clash that they had with the authorities. I'll post that picture. What's going on in Haiti? Remember, Chief, I said that they're going to try to, the military is being moved. There's already a national emergency in the United States, and they're setting the wage for war, the stage for war. All of this is the staging for war. Remember what they said is that Chavez and Haiti had an agreement on resource sharing of oil and everything else, and then to build the infrastructure. Who do you think wanted that to stop? Why is Haiti targeted? Why did Haiti have the earthquake of 2011? In my opinion, the earthquake of 2011 with Haiti happened because of the large gold deposit that was found in Haiti. And once that happened, conveniently, the U.S. military happened to be training for a third world country to have a major earthquake, and then they would come in and have to provide assistance. And lo and behold, guess what happened in Haiti? During that overall exercise that the U.S. military was engaging in to exercise, and the exercise, well, what if Haiti has a national emergency from an earthquake and then U.S. military needs to move in to assist them in humanitarian aid? You heard that before? And then all of a sudden, during that overall exercise, just by pure coincidence, Haiti is struck with a large earthquake that totally debilitates the whole nation. And they have to ask for mutual aid and humanitarian aid immediately. And guess what? Oh, as a matter of fact, the military happens to be right outside your door waiting for you to open. This is where the Clinton Foundation then took over the large gold deposit that was found, and it was given to them to execute the overall day-to-day business for Haiti. Chavez, you know, they all knew what was going on, what was happening. Mighty funny that the mercenaries were in Haiti to destabilize Haiti, because that's the move to do what? That's the move south to get Venezuela.
Because in the gobbling up of resources that they're going to be trying to acquire, they want to be able to get as much resources out of Haiti. You know, mining takes a little while. So I say that for this reason. I wanted y'all to hear that, because this is nothing more than the push towards war. And Haiti is caught up in it, because there's a move that's happening. Here's the wage of war. The U.S., let me just go over some of what's in the news real quick that has everything to do with that. This from Press TV. Violence against Guaido won't be tolerated, the U.S. celebrity figurehead, Vice President Pence said yesterday. Then it goes on to another one that's significant, is that Guaido called for protests to return in Venezuela. Here it goes. Then Russia says that they will block U.S. intervention in Venezuela. How will they block U.S. intervention in Venezuela when they're about to destabilize that, where there's going to be even more violence that goes there, and they're going to move the military in? What is Russia going to do? They're going to buffet that. Hold on one second. Sorry about that. So the whole war is definitely expanding in Venezuela, and it's going to get quite worse. It's going to implode, and it's going to capture Haiti and that whole thing. Watch, you're going to start seeing U.S. military in Haiti. They're going to say that they needed, that the Haitian president is probably going to ask for what, Keith? Humanitarian aid from the humanitarian crisis. They knew the U.S. military dying, and this is how the overall wage of war is being set forth. Critical thing. India shrugs off Trump's decision to end trade benefits. The U.S. ended trade benefits for Turkey and India. Why did they end trade benefits for Turkey? Because Turkey and the U.S. warned Turkey, here it is, the Pentagon threatens Turkey with grave consequences for buying the Russian S-400. System. Who else bought the S-400 system?
Everybody.
India did. So now, all of a sudden, India is destabilized with Pakistan. Sound like somebody intended for that to happen. Guess what the next attack is going to be? Stand by, Turkey. You're in the target. I can tell you something is going to happen there real soon. Real soon. Haiti is on in the mix, because Haiti was in the mix. Haiti and Venezuela go hand in hand. And it's no coincidence. Here's RT International. Knee-jerk reaction. India says the impact of U.S. withdrawal from trade benefits will be limited. Why is India saying that? Because they already got deals with other countries. They don't need the U.S. anymore. They don't need the U.S. anymore. And then, right now, this is how bad things are. This thing in India and Pakistan is not going to go away. Yesterday, the prime minister, the celebrity figurehead prime minister, Modi, vowed to make big, bitter decisions as India reportedly downs a Pakistani drone. In the speech yesterday, he basically was saying, this is just the start. It's only going to get worse. And in the meantime, Pakistan foiled, what's reported is that Pakistan foiled one of India's submarines going into Pakistani waters.
Say that again?
Yesterday, Pakistan foiled one of India's submarines entering their overall waters. What do you think that submarine was going to do if it got in the waters? And this is very significant. From Sputnik News, Putin orders to suspend the IMF treaty until the U.S. stops violating the deal. So now you have the suspension. So what does that mean during this suspension? Russia and China are now going, well, particularly Russia is going to be able to move nuclear armament all over the world. Guess where they're going to move nuclear armaments to? Venezuela.
They already have them there.
And Cuba. And I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I don't think that it's just they're going to make countries choose sides.
There are no sides.
Right. That's very true, Chief. And so I just thought that this was very, very, very important. Let me just, before we go into the commercial break, so some of the significant articles that I didn't get to read, I'm just going to look at them real quickly so that you can make your own determination of how important things really, really are. So next article was that India shrugs off Trump's decision to end trade benefits. That's why India is being attacked now. President Trump's new headache, Senate to block national emergency. Check out that article. This one's from socialworkers.org. Why has Haiti risen up again? Check out that article. Then this YouTube video that we just heard from Al Jazeera. Then we talked about this one from RT. Pentagon threatens Turkey with grave consequences for buying the Russian S-400 system. So that's why they kicked them off of the trade benefits. Now that they're going to have even more consequences, and believe me, they're going to have major, major destabilization there as well. Next article, here's another one, significant. 750,000 new AK-47s for India. Modi unveils a Kalashnikov plant producing the latest Russian rifles. Because they're allies now. Russia.
They're building a plant?
They're building a plant to produce the AK-203s. Next article from RT International. Knee-jerk reaction. India says the impact of U.S. withdrawal from trade benefits will be limited. Next one. Foreign minister claims Pakistan foiled a missile attack plotted by India Israel.
Go elaborate on that. You shot that through real fast. The impact of...
I'll come back to that one, Keith. And then the next one. Modi vows to make big, bitter decisions as India reportedly downs a Pakistani drone. Next article from Sputnik News. Putin orders the suspension of IMF treaty until the U.S. stops violating the deal. Next one from Sputnik News. Moscow vows tough response to attacks on Russian investments in Venezuela. Where do you think those tough responses are going to be? Next article from Sputnik News. Sounding the alarm. U.S. 2018 GDP report highlights the trend in an economic slowdown. Last one, one more is from Counterpunch, dollar hegemony again. We definitely got to read this sometime. Very, very important. And the last one is from Strategic Culture, the deeper lesson from Rubio's murder threat tweet. And that was the murder threat tweet that he put out on Twitter for Maduro in Venezuela, saying you're going to die just like Gaddafi. So you didn't know about that one? Yeah, definitely was. So that was some of the things that's in the news. We're getting ready to go to our last commercial break when we come back.
Did you read one about the United States selling to nuclear weapons? No,
I didn't read that one. Selling nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I know about it.
I meant to post that, but that's all a part of it. And I'm going to tell you what's significant about that is that dollar hegemony article was very, very significant because it talked about China and Saudi Arabia coming to a deal.
China and Saudi Arabia.
And that deal is for...
And the United States talking about selling Saudi Arabia
nuclear weapons. So, it's huge. So, listen, got ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Oh, we don't hear you, Dave.
Sorry about that, Scotty. Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So we just ran through some of what was in the news before, you know, because it was some good stuff. I wanted you all to at least see that. And for those of you that are, and everyone should be a member into BTR community, for only $24 a year, everyone become a member. You can see the stuff that we post. It's the only place that I post. I don't do tweet and telling. I don't do Facebook, I don't do any of that stuff. This is on, I don't do chained in or LinkedIn. I don't do that stuff either. This is where I actually engage in the social media activities that I engage in. And so, and I just do it from the standpoint of articles that I think that are significant for you all to know about and what the meanings are. So a lot of huge stuff that's happening. And the wage of war, and I just wanted to say that this overall wage of war is really going to pick itself up in this hemisphere around the United States, in Central and Northern North America, or the continental United States, Canada, Alaska, and also in Central America, the Caribbean, and in South America, is going to continue to explode and implode in a very, very elaborate way. You're starting to see where the U.S. is starting to attack countries that are now doing business with China and Russia, because the overall paradigm in the United States is willing to go to war over stopping the petro yuan from coming to market, and the rest of the world from jumping off of the petrodollar, more states jumping off of the petrodollar, which most of them will be doing, and they definitely are doing, and that overall scale is growing. And because of that, the U.S. realizes that they will have to invoke a war paradigm to try to win a war to push everybody back under that overall confines. Imagine if the U.S. won World War III or Global Nuclear War I. What do you think that they would say to China? What do you think that they would say to Russia? What do you think they would say to Iran and all these others? They would actually make them fall under what? The petrodollar system.
Of course it would. But what's so ridiculous about this, Dave, is
but it ain't gonna happen.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
They can't stop it. Even if they went to war, they wouldn't be able to stop it.
Yeah, it's a situation. It's a dead hand situation. But and that's what the system wants. So and because of that, the overall empire of the U.S. will absolutely collapse and start to crumble. Humpty Dumpty will fall off the wall.
He already fell.
Yeah, and so and they won't be able to put him back together again. But very, very significant stuff there. Keith, there was one article that you said you wanted me to elaborate on, is the knee-jerk reaction. India says the impact of U.S. withdrawal of trade benefits will be limited. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was a RT International article. And real quickly, and it's very important, the U.S. is actively engaging multiple countries around the world. China, Russia, Iran, Syria,
India,
Venezuela, Haiti, on the continent. It's so many places. The Korean Peninsula, of course, the South Sea of China. And so there are many things that are unfolding. You're starting to see major events, and they're actually publicizing their attacks against them. Then the false flags will be coming after. So here's one: India will not react hastily, and has no immediate plans to retaliate against Washington after President Trump withdrew the designation as a beneficiary of the generalized system of preference, a trade official said. Trump's move will have a limited impact, thus does not warrant a knee-jerk reaction, top India official said. They're like, we don't need to have a knee-jerk reaction to that. And why don't they need a knee-jerk reaction to that? Because they're getting their overall goods and supply from what? Outside sources and outside of the U.S. economy. One of the biggest things that's happening right now that's not being talked about is this. Check this out, Keith. Russia, China, and India and the other BRIC nations are establishing a new payment system that won't rely on the dollar at all. India knows that, so they don't need the U.S. anymore. And that's a huge, huge, and that's one show that we have to have exclusively on its own. And what that impact means is this is why the wage of war, this is why the U.S. will be going to war. One critical thing as well, recently, the Russian military has made announcements to the U.S. military that if things go a certain way in the United States and continue to move the way that they are, Russia will preemptively strike the United States because they have the means and capabilities of doing it. Remember what Putin said? You want a Cuban Missile Crisis? I'll give you one. But it wasn't something else that the militaries were talking in correspondence with each other and in direct talks with each other. They let them know, guess what? We are now moving and positioning ourselves to preemptively strike the U.S. Why are they saying preemptively strike the U.S.? Because what the U.S. is doing around the world is a preemptive strike on Russia. And this is all unfolding. And it's only a matter of time before it goes to a complete, comes to a complete. Complete, thus does not warrant a knee-jerk reaction. 20 years ago, what would India do? India would have never even have been in agreement with countries that the U.S. says you can't talk to these people. Now, India's like, well, we don't need a knee-jerk reaction from that. It means nothing to us. It goes on. Well, and then another person was quoted, a trade official was quoted by Reuters as saying on Tuesday, today, just hours after the United States announced its intentions to terminate India's designation as a GSP beneficiary, the U.S. has been pressuring India to reduce duties in the information technology sector.
Say that again.
The U.S. has been The U.S. has been pressuring India to reduce duties in the information technology sector, IT sector, the official said, noting that negotiations continue on a bilateral trade package that would address both sides' concerns. Let's stop there. Why is that so important? Why is the IT sector so important? Can you say Huawei, remember, the U.S. wanted to arrest the CFO in Canada, and Canada's extraditing?
You're talking about the Chinese.
Yeah. In the information and technology sector.
But you said...
But wait, Keith, wait. The information and technology sector is the cyber war sector and is the overall positioning of the new war, that the preferred method of war that's going to be fought. They say it's the IT sector, but it's really the battlegrounds of IT.
And see, to me, that is what's so scary. The first thing that you said about Russia and the preemptive strike. And the first thing that came to me is what's so scary about that in the Russian time is what if that preemptive strike was, what if that's an EMP or the Poseidon,
mm-hmm.
which essentially ends the war before it starts.
Yep. And also the IT sector is critical because remember with the celebrity figurehead old defense Secretary Mattis said, we got to get rid of all of the Chinese equipment in the U.S. military.
Was that because of that chip that they found it?
Because now, why would Russia tell them, we're going to preemptively strike you? Because they can nullify the U.S. response now, or nullify the U.S. defending against that. They're defenseless.
Well, that's kind of my point. They, right. You know, again, they got so many things. You know, they're playing with us. Now, you know, somebody says, well, Keith, you know, the thing is, the United States are not going to tell you everything that they have. And that's probably true. But from the things that we do know, we have no defenses against those things.
And you know, Keith, I'm glad you said that. Here's what that old, you know, that saying, and I look at it this way. So you have some of the greatest military intelligence in the world comes from a couple of nations. Okay? Some of those nations are the British, the Russians, Pakistan, the Chinese, and Israel. And what all of the data is showing is that the U.S. is scrambling, going around the world with bully tactics because they know that's the only thing that they have now. Because when you have things of measures, guess what? You never have to announce sanctions. You never have to announce sanctions. You make a phone call, and that overall phone call deters anyone jumping ship. When you got to move to sanctions, that means that you got to move to these methods and methodology. You know, the U.S. lost the war in Iraq. They may have defeated Saddam in the military, but the actual U.S. military was defeated soundly in Iraq. And you're starting to see the ramifications of that throughout the Middle East. Is the U.S. the influence, the greatest influence in the Middle East conflicts now? No. Insignificant. Actually, it's being targeted against them. And it expanded. Because of that, it expanded everywhere. So when someone says the U.S. has this and it, hate to tell you and bust your bubble, bruh, or sis, whoever it is, sounds good, it ain't reality. Sounds good, ain't reality. And what's going to unfold here is going to be crippling. The empire is going to definitely fall. So, yeah, it's, and there's a lot in today's show that I wanted to get to, because we got to get to Rubido's threat to Maduro and Russia's commitment. Moscow vows tough response to attacks on Russian investment in Venezuela. So, what is it that the U.S. is after in Venezuela? The oil. Guess who has all the investment, or who's a major investor in,
basically owns it.
Who's the major investor in Venezuelan oil capabilities? Russia and China. Do you think they're going to let the U.S. come in and do anything with that? They can't. They realize that actually having Venezuela is a choke point for the U.S. Now you can smother the U.S. military as well, because the U.S. military won't be able to what? To supply itself for wage a war. Not a good situation. So, I'm going to continue. So, I just say, everyone, continue to prepare. We got another caller in queue. I'm sorry, I didn't see the caller. I'm not quite sure. It might be Sister Davis. Out of South Carolina, area code 803. What say you? Welcome to Tando Radio Show.
Hey, hey, Brother Dave. Yes, it's Sister David.
Hey,
how are you and the family?
How are you?
I just wanted to, I know it's at the end of the show, but I wanted to make a little fact on what you talked about yesterday about the mining and the and moon and the mining of the silver and everything.
Yeah.
And then you brought in the, you just briefly touched on Star Wars. I want the callers to think again, and the next time they watch that movie, don't look at the Force Be With You. Well, the Force Be With You is a large part of it. But go back to why the movie was there. When Luke, when that movie so first started, Luke Skywalker and his family were a mining family. The whole movie is about mining. They show the, they show it. They show them digging in the earth. Well, not the earth, but the planet that they were on. And it was all about that fight to get the mining of whatever they were mining, whatever the iron ore or the silver, gold, whatever the what they were mining for. That's what the whole fight of Star Wars was about. Then, of course, the dark side, the light side, the bright side, and all of that came into play, understanding that that was the force behind it. But the real movie is truly about mining. And then if you look at it on the other side, it was also about the Ewoks that lived on a planet that was green, that was full of earth, that was full of life. Because when you look at the mining planets, like the planet that Luke Skywalker, the movie first started, it was desolate. It was just hills. It was just dirty and just dust. But on the opposite side of it was the Ewoks on the other planet that was green, and they were the little animals that looked like teddy bears, so to speak. And they basically killed them. They basically wiped that planet out. I just wanted to give the listeners a fact that sometimes people don't realize when they watch things, you have to look at them, so to speak, with the third eye, what is behind the scenes that you're looking at. And in Star Wars, that's very prevalent. And that's basically what the Star War was about.
The Star War, exactly, because the star is what? A star gives illumination, right? It's the light.
Correct.
And it's, and if you really think about it, it really should, every star is really made up of silver. That's why it shines. That's why it is
correct,
as bright as it is.
And you know also,
so it was the Silver War. Was that Scotty?
Correct.
Well, also, you know, you can read between the lines some of these writers or these movie scripts. They might be privy to conversations and in circles that we ain't privy to, and you know, they put these things into a script and make it a film.
Yeah.
But if you really want some cold hard evidence to what, excuse me, Trump calls Space Force, that's first called for in the policy paper by the Project for a New American Century, the neoconservatives. Yep. In that document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, I did a podcast on it, or a program on it. It's a podcast now, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I dived into that paper. And in that paper, it's talking about creating a space force just so that they can colonize space for what? What have they always colonized? People's land for, and I'm talking about the colonizers, we know who they are. It's always for resources, always to mine the resources, just take from the land till it ain't no more, till it can't sustain life no more, or severely damages the ecosystem. And so in that paper, when Donald Trump said that, I had missed it the first time I had read Rebuilding America's Defenses. You can only get it in PDF form now, and PNAC disbanded because when that paper came out, everybody started talking about them. They changed their name, just like, you know, the private prison correction corporations of America changed its name to Core Civic, or what was Eric Prince's name? Eric Prince's mercenary
that was,
group.
Blackwater.
Yeah, and they changed it to Z Services. So PNAC did the same thing. I can't recall the new name of it right now. But it said investing money in a space force, militarizing a space so that, of course, they can colonize or lay claim to any potential mining colonies.
Yep, and you know, Sister Davis and you, Scotty, hit it on the head. It's all codified. And Sister Davis, you know, I didn't even really think about, you know, Star Wars, because if you really think about it, from that standpoint, every star, only stars give light. And the whole thing about it, you know, and you've heard me say this, is every star, the bigger the star, the more silver it has. That's why this is why silver is more valuable than gold, because every ounce of silver that you have in your possession is a direct representation of the sun, our sun, which is a star, or a sun of the past that went into supernova. It is a direct representation of a sun or a star. And when you think about it, it really should be Silver Wars. And they hit it under Star Wars. And it's really, really, that is so true. And, you know, Sister Davis really just, I didn't even think of it that way. You know, I saw it with, you know, in the Bible, where the first thing that you ever hear God say is, let there be light. And the correct way that should be said is, let there be silver. Just to show you how, from the Judeo-Christian Bible, when you hear let there be light, it actually should be let there be silver, because without silver there is no light. It is what, this is why silver is the greatest conduit of light, because it creates light. So, man, so much great showing out. I'm sorry, Mr. Davis, whenever you want to jump in.
Dave, I wanted to bring up with the Star Wars, it also talks about how the movie starts at the end and it goes to the beginning. The Star Wars trilogy and the way Hollywood has put the movie out, what we saw as Star Wars was the end. And like I said, first it was the planet that the Ewoks was on that was completely green. And once you mine everything, and if you take the life force out and you have a negative connotation of what you're going to do, you will banish it forever, because the Ewoks is where it actually started, where it was green. And of course the silver was under the planet. Then once you strip everything out away, you end up with barrenness. And that's exactly what they're doing here in America. They're going to end up with barrenness, same as they did in the continent of Africa. They're ending up in barrenness. That's what Ethiopia is now. Because if you want to do Bible scripture, Ethiopia is actually the Garden of Eden, if you want to go scripturally. But if you look at it now, right, Ethiopia is a barren desert. And I know we're out of time, but, you know, we'll pick it up next go-round.
Well said, Sister Davis. And that's why the drafting of our daughters is, you know, I'm against any form of draft, because it's wrong the way that they do it. Because a land without men is conquered. When you don't have any men to defend, you become the overall subjugants of someone else that will conquer you. A land without women is, as Sister Davis says, and I say it's barren. Sister Davis said it's barren.
Same as you have both two sexes. If you have the two sexes, they can't recreate either. They can adopt. Right. I ain't saying that they can't do that, but you can't take two of the same sex and end up with a child, or an offspring, so to speak. It's impossible. It just can't work. And that's what the barrenness is also, that you can see we're going toward. Not that I'm don't have friends that are LGBTQ, but I'm just saying, but if you have two of the same, you will never have an offspring. And I know we're at the end of the hour, but peace to you and the family, and we'll listen next time we can listen.
Yes, I love you, greatly appreciate the queen has spoken. All right, everyone, never goodbye, as always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro.